Shalom, I've been taken over by the Zionists. I'm now one of their pawns, as well as working for the CIA and Microsoft. I'm now fully in league to the Israeli government. This is why I wasn't on the show last week. Oh, wait, there wasn't a show last week. Don't worry, disregard that comment. Bitching over, I've got three of, we've got three great tech grumpsters here today. For Tech Grumps number 41. So Ian Forrester, say hello.
Hello.
And David Eastman.
Hello.
And me, Tom Morris. As I said, shalom. I was in Israel last week, and I had to get to the airport pre-lubricated, which was fun. But less of that. Now that I've ruined your breakfast, we'll get on to well, the pressing topic, the depressing topic of the week, which I guess would have to be the idiotic media reaction to the riots, which starts off with a little bit of racism. Anyone want to kick the ball off on this? No doubt.
Yeah, I would love to. I would. Right. So, okay. I don't know where to start. Right. My ex-wife, yeah, cause I was in London. I actually went to this wedding in London. Really glad I did. Cause I wasn't going to go because of all the riots, you know. I wasn't quite sure what was going to happen, all that, so I just kind of went, I'm going to stay away. But I went to the wedding and I really enjoyed it. I'm really glad I went. But on the way back, you know, I was traveling on Friday, and my ex-wife said, oh, you know, oh, what'd she say again? Oh, she said something like, "Oh, you missed the comment from Starkey on Newsnight," and I was like, "Oh, okay." And she was like, "Yeah, you know, this is the reason why I want to leave this country," and I was like, "Fucking hell, you know, this is not good," and I didn't really think much of it, and then. Well, I didn't think that. I didn't really look into it anyway, because there's so much stuff going on. Then, finally, you know, just wanted to get the show going. Tom sends me a link to the actual interview because I actually thought, well, what I'll do is I'll watch it on iPlayer or something like that later. But I never got round to it, you know. I didn't really follow what was going on.
So the
Anyway.
context is David Starkey, the Tudor historian. For some reason, they asked him to come on to Newsnight the other day to discuss rioting and the cause of rioting. And
Righteous
well,
assembly.
Ian, do you want to describe what the result was?
Well, you basically, man, I don't even know where to start. I'm just. You know what? I hate to use the word, but you know what? He's a fucking cunt. You know what?
Right.
He is a fucking cunt. What is wrong with him? You know, a man of such intelligence, and he just no idea what he's talking about. And he just, you know, when he first said it, I was like,
No. Ian, you're taking this out of context. He's been a cunt his whole life.
Yeah, it's just
part
become
of
one.
his
It is.
Oh,
He's part of a
how
special
dare you
cunt
discriminate
culture.
against idiot?
Well, actually, is it a cunt subculture? Can't work out.
I just, you know.
It's a long-standing cultural tradition where you go on TV and say stupid things. This is a fine cultural tradition
I'm just shocked because, like, you know, man, you know, just to like, is literally, you know, oh well. All black culture is like this. No, fuck you. Fuck you.
What I like is that he's effectively said that, you know, all the writers were black, but if they're white, they're also black. Therefore,
Yeah,
writers are
yeah.
black. Which I think is great. It's just like, that's a nice simplification
And then he
right
started,
there.
and then he started going off on one about West Indians, and it was just like, it's just blatant racism, you
Well,
know?
I think. Making patois, that totally confused me.
Yeah,
I
it
think
was
he's
like,
probably
you know, this is
all
insane.
LA West Coast rap with yes. Jamaican pepper.
So we were. I was having a discussion with somebody about it, and they brought this up, and they said, "Oh, that you know, David Starkey has blamed black culture for the riots." And we were like, "What? You know, Martin Luther King, like Miles yeah. Davis? You know, you're taking all culture, and you're splitting it down the middle, and saying you've got white culture on one side, black culture on the other side, and that's all to blame." So everything from, everything from, I don't know, Beyonce through to, W.E. Du Bois, yeah. You know, seriously?
I tend not to use the word racist, you know, unless it really is. And this is, you know, this is it. This is exactly it. It's like, well, I can't see a different, you know. All those people, yeah, they all look black. They all sound black. Fuck them. They're all like into violence. You know, it's just blatant racism. You know?
He made it worse for me by saying, if you listen to David Lammy, the Labour MP, the black Labour MP, without seeing him, you think he's white. I'm just like, okay, I give up at this point.
But what
irritates me about it the most is that, you know, whenever we have some big thing in the media, some big tragedy or some big, some big event, the media, you know, their job is to try and like, all right, in an ideal world, the BBC or, you know, sort of non-tabloid media, their job is supposed to be to kind of elevate the discourse and like, maybe have some intelligent soul searching as to why it's going to happen. And you would think that getting a historian, I have a degree in philosophy, so I kind of always want to bat for the philosophers and say that they've got intelligent and reasonable things to say. And the idea is that, you know, you should get some intelligent and reasonable, a learned person who might be able to provide some historical and theoretical perspective on things, you know, kind of yeah. like the French do with their public philosophers and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And you'd think that somebody had written, and let me count how many books in the bibliography section on Wikipedia. Fuck, that's lots. Might actually be able to provide that. And he comes on TV and his first thing is, now, about Enoch Powell's River of Blood.
I cannot believe that.
What a great place to start. Yeah.
I'm spitting blood. Yeah, watching it. I just can't believe it.
Well done on the elevation of the discourse, BBC, for inviting such a well-tempered
Yeah, he is known for coming out of that stuff. I don't quite know what to think of asking him in the first place, because they know what sort of things he's likely to say, but I think he's outdone himself this time, to be fair. You know,
I watched him on the Jamie Oliver thing, the teacher school thing. Yeah. And, you know, the first day he kind of called some student fat, you know, which is like, you know, it's ridiculous. You know, you're a teacher, you know, you should know better, you know. And even when pushed, and he wasn't pushed that far, and he still came out of it, but... Yeah.
I'm assuming that might have been creative editing, because obviously he probably didn't walk straight in and go fatty or something.
No, the nice thing about that is that you can actually Channel 4 actually put all the shows up on YouTube.
Right.
So you could actually watch the whole thing, and I actually did. And yeah, the students were definitely winding them up, but you know, they weren't winding up that bad. I mean, like when I was in school, we used to make the teachers cry, you know.
They have them cry, not trying.
I went to a very bad school, but anyway, so you know, I just this I can't I didn't know what to say. I really don't know what to say. But I guess because it's obviously like we're talking about tech stuff. I'm also quite. I mean, I'm a bit upset with the media's reaction to. Well, not just the media, but the media and politicians.
Media. Blame social media. Blame Twitter.
Yeah. You know, just. Oh, man. I just can't. I just. You know, and it's just literally. I think. Actually, I was watching a debate on Channel 4. I can't remember which one it was now. And they did actually. Everyone was kind of like, you know, yes. You know, it was organized with all these different social networks and all these different messaging systems. But, you know, if we ever go down the road of, like, trying to police that or trying to, you know, kind of control that, then we're in a much worse place. And thankfully, people are saying that, you know, and I think...
Yeah, well, and yeah. The other thing is that if you shut down messaging services, whether you shut down SMS, or whether you shut down Twitter, or you shut down just mobile services in general, it's yes, it'll stop rioters from sending text messages to one another. It'll also stop the innocent victims of the rioting from, I don't know, contacting their friends and family and trying to get help.
Yeah.
It'll also screw the emergency services quite badly as well. I mean, yeah. They also depend on quite a lot of that. So it's all a bit...
Yeah. How do you call the police? If they've how do you call 999 if they've shut down the telephone mast in your area?
Yeah.
Yeah. You can get a telephone box. I know that we don't really have those anymore because of mobile phones. Oh, damn!
The telephone box which has been vandalised by the...
well, you know, also, this is the other thing, right, is I was kind of involved, not in the riots, but I was... something happened in Manchester.
Sorry, I wouldn't be surprised if you were involved in the riots. You are black after all. You should, in fact, be...
Involved in riots. Come on. You know what? This is one of the things that I'm very, very fun about. It's like, so I was involved in a riot, not riot, but like in a protest a long time ago, the Criminal Justice Bill.
Yeah.
And, you know, at that point, I kind of, there's people that obviously just come along to these things just to cause trouble. And that was the point where I was like, you know what? I don't think I'm ever going to go to one of these things ever again because it's just too... You just get slated. Everyone's... Yeah, the media goes, you know what? You know, all these people were doing this. All of you were doing that. And I just... Yeah, I just... That's why I deliberately stayed well clear.
It reminds me of when the student fees thing was going on.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you had the idiots who were like... you know, smashing down windows and stuff. But then, like, you know, one of the things which I thought was absolutely amazing was, I think, during the second protest, there were all the school kids who were protesting against the cancellation of the educational maintenance allowance. And they were joining in the student protest because they were basically saying, well, look, you know, if you want us to go to university, why the fuck are you... cutting our EMA, which is, you know, the only thing which is enabling lots of people to go to school or lots of people to do A levels. And at one point, there was this fantastic shot of the like anarchist rent-a-mob twats trying to smash up police vans, and then all these like 16-year-old school kids, you know, who are all like making human chains around the police vans.
Oh, right.
But yeah, it's the
I saw something and I was kind of witnessing something because you know it's because I'm also right in the city centre, and I'm in a very high vantage position. There was quite a lot of things that were happening because there's actually a retail park right by me, and
you didn't think about popping around to PC World,
but no, but you know that's a kind of thing, right? There's a PC World outlet center, right, and next to it there's JD Sport. Where did everyone run through? JD Sport, you know.
Yeah,
but Yeah. So anyway, I was kind of involved.
What people really want is Nick Trainers rather than nicked iPods.
You have to go deeper into the store to get the iPods, I suppose.
Well, it's out there, so it's usually full of rubbish. But anyway.
don't loot here, it's rubbish.
Shops should have signs which say that. We've just got shit in our shop, try next door.
Big arrow. Go over there, loot there. Yeah.
But, so I was kind of like, I think it's an ongoing investigation, so I'm not actually allowed to talk about it, so. Anyway.
One of the things I sort of picked up was the Chinese response to the now the English state understand that you do have to control social media.
Yeah,
it's funny because of course after we criticise them for their behaviour after years. You know, after 3 days of what I could barely call writing, to be honest, but sort of our writers' behaviour, immediately, Cameron. Shut down the social media, shut down the internet. Oh, the Chinese are quite right. You know, we're utterly, utterly hypocritical. A load of rubbish.
Well, maybe not shut them down, but just, fiddle with them a bit.
Somebody should shut them down temporarily, which is brilliant. I mean, no question how on earth you would do that or what even that means. I mean, it doesn't mean anything, but let's just assume it did mean anything. I'd just love it temporarily, just until, just for a period in which we define that. A riot has now started. We're now turning off. And when the riot has finished, what are they actually talking about? What?
I bet they're going to use that clean feed thing. You know, they use that for everything. And it works. Oh, clean wait.
Oh, right, okay.
Not much.
there was a fantastic post I saw the other day, which really snarked on the Twitter thing, which was... it was a post called I Blame, and then it was a list of all of the things which people in the media have blamed. And I couldn't trace down the original thing, but apparently, according to this post, which is humour, to be fair, it was saying that some columnist blamed UK Uncut for the riots.
What?
For listeners who are unaware, UK Uncut being the big companies should pay their taxes, and if they don't, we're going to occupy their stores for fun on Saturday afternoons.
Right.
And, people who like targeted Vodafone shops and Arcadia Group, Topshop, all those kind of things. And they would, go in and like sit down in Vodafone or Topshop and like shut the shop down.
Yeah.
To protest the fact that they are avoiding paying billions of pounds of taxes. Some newspaper, some shit tabloid journalist was saying that because UK Uncut use Twitter and the rioters use Twitter, therefore the rioters are essentially a branch of UK Uncut.
What?
Because only... only crazy young rioting thugs who hate society and whatever use Twitter, which is quite funny because I felt like forwarding it to all the Daily Mail and Daily Telegraph journalists who have Twitter accounts.
Oh man!
The other thing I saw, which was very amusing, that was in response to it, was there was somebody was saying. There was somebody put up a video, which I posted up on my blog and, was circulating around Google Plus and a bunch of other places. And it was a guy who was stuck on the M1 and all these cars had... There was an accident on the M1 and apparently two cars had flipped over and all these cars had pulled into the hard shoulder and were driving up the hard shoulder and then basically blocked up the hard shoulder. And then he was saying, look, the whole point of the hard shoulder is to let the emergency services come through. If there's been a fucking accident.
Yeah.
And he was going basically down talking to all these kind of, what the Telegraph would describe as law abiding motorists, who were driving down the fucking hard shoulder and, asking them why they were driving down the hard shoulder. And then quite a few of them said, oh, because everyone else is. Oh. And then he was basically saying, isn't that the justification of the riots this week?
Yeah.
Wow. Everyone else is doing it. Which I
think it was worse in a way. They weren't even driving. They were parked there.
Yeah.
And they couldn't move. So why they were there, I have no idea.
And then he was asking them, you know, and it's absolutely right. You've got all these people who are, like, blaming all these, you know, young thugs, and you know they're basically saying, or you know, black culture or whatever, or yeah, the internet or hip hop or fucking, you know,
disco. Blame, yeah, disco.
Yeah, blame disco. I reckon it's all the fault of Kool and the Gang, the Village People.
That's about right, I reckon.
No, and there's just so. What
there's
I don't.
A, there's what a lot
we need to learn.
Sorry.
There needs to be some kind of like network of people, and this is kind of what the blogosphere was supposed to be in, you know, those early heady, idealistic days. A sort of coalition of reasonable people who will just, like, vow with one another to just completely ignore stupidity and have reasonable, intelligent discussions with one another.
Yeah.
And you know, when the Daily Mail says something stupid or blames Twitter for, you know, whatever, you know, and we just, like, completely freeze them out.
Yeah.
And it's a coordination problem. Like, if we just stop giving these people the oxygen of publicity, which I guess we've just done, although we didn't really name, other than David Starkey, we didn't really name any of these idiots, and just like build a community of people who want to try and find reasonable, intelligent solutions to social problems, whatever. And
we were just... Oddly enough, I'm going to respond to that, Tom, by saying I blame Twitter. I was playing table tennis with a previously quite a prolific blogger, and I was just saying to him, why have you stopped blogging? And he did say it's because the news agenda moves so fast that Twitter is a much more effective way of talking now than, and I know exactly what he means. I've started, I mean, I don't blog so much either, and you start writing something. And if you've got the time, of course you should always do it immediately in one day. If you spend a few days, you suddenly get caught out by events. I mean, I got horribly caught out by the riot. You can't just put something out there as enough that doesn't even mention it. You look at it and go, that's now irrelevant.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, what were we going on about? Are we going about Murdoch? Who's talking about Murdoch now? No one, because of the riot. And this is quite typical, because the amount of the throughput of reported events is so big now that effectively Twitter has become the only way you can sort of battle.
I'm finding personally, so
what you do is quite good, the sort of the Tumblr effect, where you can write a little bit longer if you want, but effectively you might just do a post and a video and so forth and leave it at that. That's probably more effective, but the actual old style, I'm going to write X paragraphs, is getting harder, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm not so sure. I think there's still...
Oh, you can write reactive stuff, like newspapers, but what's the point of that?
No. It's not even that.
Precisely no point in that.
You can write, you know, I still find blogs really, really useful for discussing ideas and stuff like that, which later on, when something does happen, you can kind of go, oh, yeah, look, this person was talking about that all that time ago.
The old style, I was doing blogging during 7/7, and that was a good example of, you know, blogs going over months and months and months. I just don't think that would work anymore, to be honest.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, so one of the things that I kind of am involved in is Wikinews, which is a sister project of Wikipedia, which tries to do news coverage, and it kind of sucks. The problem, like, we have a real problem, which is we try very, very hard, unlike most of the online press, to actually fact check shit. So, you know, so we'll get a 3-paragraph story, and, you know, we'll demand all the sources, and somebody who's uninvolved with the story will go through and check all the sources before we hit publish. And the result is we have a huge backlog of things that are waiting to be published, and things often end up going, you know, they stop being news because we don't get around to reviewing them in time. And you know, but that, unfortunately, you kind of want to say, well, you know, it's a Gresham's Law thing. Like, when it was just newspapers and just TV news, you know, there was a deadline. There was a, you know, we've got a bit of time to check this out. The paper's got to be on the press by X time. The bulletin goes out at X time. We've got some time to check this. Now it's, you put the shit up, you know, like, I was reading, actually, BBC News, some of their stories get written and published within 5 minutes.
Mm.
Like, it comes in off the wire, and they publish it in 5 minutes. And you think, well, hold on, you haven't got time to fact check anything. Then you kind of have the flip side of, you can go and fix it afterwards. But, like, numerous times we've had, like, at Wikinews, we've had that problem where, like, we, you know, we'll get a story and we'll go and fact check it, and actually, you know, we'll check, like, what the media are reporting, and then go and check it against, say, Hansard, and find out that they've completely misquoted it. Like, numerous times this has happened, and all that's happened is that all the newspapers have just taken what the wire service have said and reprinted it without checking it, and none of them checked it.
Some
goofball on the internet like me goes and spends 10 minutes poking through Hansard, finding the original, and finding that it's all quoted wrong.
I agree, and this is, I was going to say, did you see the, was it Microsoft Internet Explorer users are dumber than Firefox and Chrome?
I didn't see that, no.
I would just take that as the obvious truth, though.
Well, the thing about it is that it was actually a news story. Well, sorry, it was a story, piece of research that got put out about a week and a half ago. And all you had to do, because most people, if you're right, so when you heard it, most people were like, yeah, well, that's obvious, right? So no one really checked it. And it was written by one guy who claimed to be doing this research. He interviewed about 90 people.
That and was made, not quite enough.
No, exactly. And it basically, there was some American company, it was American news organization that actually went, oh, actually, this looks very fake. But in the meanwhile, BBC already published it, and others have published it. And, you know, even trying to phone the guy, it was obvious that it was all kind of like all made up rubbish, you know, and you would get stung like that. And because simply you kind of get caught in this kind of time frame of like, oh, we need to get out faster, we need to be faster. And I think that's kind of what I'm kind of hearing when David's talking about the blogging stuff and the Twitter, because, yeah, it is very tempted to kind of like, I need to be on Twitter, I need to put it out as fast as possible. But I think there's a real benefit to being not first, you know, and being the kind of like the voice of reason.
Mm.
Yeah, a trusted voice.
Yeah, I mean,
I was actually when all the riots was happening, I was actually looking at Wiki News actually, and yeah, it was kind of way behind all the other stuff, but
yeah,
it was just interesting to. it's just interesting to like to be able to read and go okay, because you hear like reports, especially after the London ones, you heard like reports that something was happening in Bristol, something was happening in Birmingham, something was happening in Liverpool, something was happening in, and you know, it was just like, you know, what's really going on? So anyway,
I just found a hilarious thing actually talking about the riots. There's an article in the Mail on Sunday. which that would be today, dear listeners. They had a story which was titled, "Do BlackBerry Makers Have a Secret Code Would Let Police Identify Rioters?" And
what?
Let me just read the first. "They are accused of playing a vital role in helping rioters to plot the violence that blighted Britain. But when the Mail on Sunday tried to question Twitter and the makers of BlackBerry phones about the sinister use of their technology, Twitter's chief executive mocked us, and a journalist was forcefully told to leave BlackBerry's HQ."
Oh, man.
So they mean RIM's HQ. There is no BlackBerry HQ.
Yeah.
They probably didn't want to confuse their readers until... Well, they didn't want to confuse their readers until the fourth paragraph by pointing out that...
That
Research in Motion is actually the, make BlackBerry.
Those Canadians, those damn Canadians.
Yeah, it's, they're in between making the playbook, they're also... plotting the destruction of Britain's urban youth.
Yeah. Whereas the playbook is just the destruction of like common sense, because that's utterly rubbish. But hey,
I don't know what to say other than this whole thing has been stupid, and that there's really not much more to say about it.
Yeah. Okay, should we move on before I get very upset?
Yeah, I was going to moan about Ruby, wasn't I?
Which is the greatest language ever.
That may be true. I haven't. Again, my problem is never really with the languages; it's with the tools which people create around them. How much they suck the pleasure and enjoyment out of my life. Unending nagging pain. Specifically, in this case, it would be Rake, Builder, and RVM.
RVM are familiar with. We should have obviously explained bit by bit. Okay, so Rake Builder.
Not Builder. Bundler.
Bundler and RVM. That's the greatest combo ever.
We better step back.
You explain one of them, I'll explain the other.
Okay, it's the combination of the three, really. You've got Rake, which is Ruby's version of Make, and it's in general a good tool. Bundler, which basically is a dependency management thing for Ruby, which basically lets you specify all the dependencies that your app has. And then it goes and sorts the dependencies out and loads them into your app.
RVM is the way of getting a different Ruby, which is rather good. So RVM, you can have different versions of Ruby.
Yeah. RVM lets you switch between variations of Ruby. So, like, if you're building something, you can switch between 1.8 and 1.9 and JRuby and IronRuby and Rubinius, and there must be some other versions of Ruby I've forgotten. But, and that's all cool. Each one of those things is fine in and of itself. My problem is that I've been working on an open source thing, and I've been trying to get new developers up to speed on all this stuff. And it's fucking complicated, and there's just too much of this shit, and and it's actually surprisingly hard to learn how to use all these things for a complete newbie.
So I was even answering questions from somebody. I mentioned the Flock Edu, and we'll probably come back to that maybe next week. But one of the people up there had exactly this problem, and we still had it. The classic is RVM keeps its own gems in its own area. This is why RVM plays very nicely with Bundler. And you have this concept called a gem set, which is wonderful and pretty, but has nothing to... But if you ever go, I'll install my gem, I'll go sudo blah gem, wonderful. You've now put your gem somewhere where it will just disappear because RVM can no longer see it, which is absolutely wonderful. So people going, what the fuck happened to my gem that I just installed? It's disappeared.
And basically, we've gone from the relatively simple situation of a few years ago, everyone was using either a Mac or Linux, and they were all pretty much using the same version of Ruby, which would be 1.8.x. You're now having so many different options, and we've basically recreated all of the conditions that led to the creation of Maven.
Saying the apocalypse.
Yeah, so we've gone from being Ruby being, oh, it's this nice language and it's got all these simple things, and we've come up with all the, and it's all lovely and, like, you know, it's simple. And it's not, you know. And now when I fucking pull stuff from my fellow developers, I have to remember, right, so it's git pull, bundle install, rakedb migrate, rakedb, you know, and there's like fucking 12 different commands I have to run. To go from, I've pulled down a bunch of changes from people working on this project, to I can actually open my browser and start fiddling with this thing. And at least one or more of those steps requires my build tool to go out onto the internet and download fucking dependencies. And this is the whole reason I don't fucking use Java.
Yeah, it's Maven madness. Yeah.
And now, you know, it's fucking invaded Ruby land too, and it makes me fucking angry.
There's something's gone wrong with the old style sort of isolation. You take down a project, and of course it's got a gem file that defines how a bundler's going to work, and you suddenly go, yeah, you run it, and you get absolute bollocks, and then you get the, no, I don't have this gem. And you're going, what gem? I don't need that gem. And then you'd run bundle install, and then it does the Maven trick of going, oh, yeah, you got that. Oh, you want a new version of this? Oh, yeah, I've just spotted that you need a new version of that. Yeah, oh, you need the native version of this. And oh, for fuck's sake. This is worse, by the way, in the Rails world, because you'll suddenly get these very deep sort of and wide Rails libraries. I was complaining about Spree the other day, and suddenly you'll get like 20 gems off the back of them. And you think, what the fuck is all this?
Yeah, I had one which was... So I haven't yet gotten around to, you know, spending time working out how the fuck RVM works on my machine. Probably because I've got a broken enough path already. And yes, I suck. but the point is that I have a simple, you know, database backed, you know, RDBMS backed CRUD Rails application. Nothing fancy, you know, like the most complicated thing we're doing with it is some, you know, fancy magic with dates, and that's about it. Nothing complicated. So I pull the latest version of this down, run bundler install, and, you know, and it's like, oh, I need to install the Postgres gem. Oh, I need to build, you know, I need to build the Postgres gem because it has, you know, native dependencies. Oh, you don't have Postgres installed? Well, fuck you. And I'm like, hold on a second. The gem file says this is for production. I'm not running this in production. I'm running this in fucking development. You know, and, you know, I'm running a small database in SQLite for development.
They should have made a group inside the gem file.
Well, it did. It was in group colon production, but Bundler decided it didn't want to play with that, and so it's going to do everything. And I have no fucking clue how I debug this thing. You know, because I'm using Rails 3, I've been coerced into using this, and this is apparently supposed to be so much better than just typing in sudo gem install whatever the fuck, and, you know, ugh.
I like Rails so much now, I advise people to use Sinatra, because it's actually still bad, but nowhere near as bad. Actually, because what you're saying, Tom, is actually worse. I mean, I mentioned gem sets earlier, which are good in and of themselves. You can actually get a little script that will automatically, as you move into a directory, it'll set the gem set. Very nice. So the gem set, just very handy. Only problem now is they've realized this is a massive security hole, because basically you install stuff and goes, something's just trying to run a script because you moved into directory. Did you mean that? Do you know where this came from? And the first time you see this on the console, you go, what the fuck is that? You know, and you suddenly realize that this system has now sort of walked in a bit like Maven, has sort of walked into its own area. We're sort of working with very little else now, and having to sort of confirm and build it itself, and it is like the sort of nano goo that's going to go all over the place. Yeah, and unfortunately,
know what it's like. It's like when you first run CPAN in fucking Perl, right? And it's like, you know, so you just want to install this XML parsing library? I've got 150 questions to ask you first.
Yeah. Where do you live? What are you like? Are you a communist?
Somebody I know actually said that there is a fix for that, which is you write a Perl script which waits for input, and then you respond the word yes. Mm-hmm. No, you just pipe yes the output of yes into CPAN, and it will just answer yes to everything.
Well, at least if you answer yes to everything, you'll get something good.
Well, it might install everything in a directory just called wah.
So I now have multiple. I still think RVM is wonderful, but yes, I now have multiple Rubies. For instance, I've got one Ruby that the IRB doesn't work. The IRB doesn't work because I didn't rebuild the Ruby in the way that you need to under RVM. There's a whole load of flags you need to do. It's effectively, it sort of does rebuilding for you, but not properly. Mm-hmm. So you'll get things like you'll install this Ruby, wonderful, and then it'll suddenly stop and going. Something used a file with zlib you didn't install with zlib. You get the same with OpenSSL. You get the same with a reading thing that stops IRB. And as Tom said, individually these things would be fine. But after a while, you realise after 3 hours, oh, I've patched this, wonderful, it now works. And then you look around the rest of your team and goes, oh, shit, no one is going to understand how this fucking thing works anymore.
Yeah.
you're on your own little island.
It's almost like you need some kind of dependency system where you can put all your dependencies in some kind of zipped format with metadata attached.
Yeah.
and then you could run it on a virtual machine so that isn't there a language which does that? there's got to be a better way of doing it, and I guess the answer is probably that Ruby is now in the same place that Java was when Ruby became popular. And Node.js has become the new Ruby or something. I don't know. I don't fucking know, and I don't fucking care. I just want to write my fucking code and then spend a bit less time, using the RSI machine and a bit more time out reading books or something.
Just as a further backup, I actually open sourced a little demo I did with 6 directories, starting with the simplest Sinatra thing where you just go Ruby, run it, and it works. Mm. And then adding extra layers like Bundler, like a little bit more like Thin and so forth. And frankly, you need to do that just to explain how you get all the cruft on. The cruft is can be quite useful. But once you do it, you realise, hey, you know, things ain't as simple as they used to be.
Yeah, and what's annoying is that, to be fair, it's the Wikipedia problem all over again. It's you've gone from, hey, any newbie can do it. This is great. This is wonderful. To, right, you want to do Rails? You've got to go and read these 17 documentation files about 5 different tools that have a slightly ill-defined relationship between them. And then you can download Rails, and then you can follow one of these 5 tutorials, which are all slightly different and slightly contradictory. And then you can work on our project. Oh, but I'm just here to write the HTML. Yeah, you've got to go and read all this shit first. And then we wonder why the designer types don't actually then, I don't know, check their shit into Git, because they can't get the app running onto their machine. And don't even get me started on, you know, if they dare use Windows.
Okay.
If they dare use Windows, our only reaction is, well, you should install Ubuntu.
Well, should we move on before you do go off on one?
I thought we were supposed to go off on one.
Well,
we're
here. I kind of constantly really gone off on one, and we're going to go off on another one. And I'm kind of conscious that I want to try and keep it a bit shorter than usual.
Okay, have we got anything else to moan about?
Oh, we need to discuss what phone should Maria get.
Oh, Android. No, iPhone, no.
Well, no, she wants
Android.
To get
iPhone.
Oh, hold on.
Android, no.
Explain. Wait a minute. All right.
Sonar phone.
Wait a minute. So, let me explain. She knows she wants Android, but because she basically has a...
Out of interest, how does she know she wants Android? How does that happen? I know I want. How did people get this? I know I want iPhone. This is bad. I know I want Android.
It's what, because Ian's told her.
No, I haven't. I'm not. Right. No, I'm not even told her anything. Excuse me. Right. So what? What she decided by herself, right? Because for her, she wanted to. She didn't want a BlackBerry. Yeah. And she also didn't want an iPhone.
How's she going to find out what riots are without BlackBerry, silly girl?
No, she just tunes into the local hip-hop station.
Oh, of course, yeah. Or just asks a black person. They all know where they're happening simultaneously. By
default. All right. And so she just decided to... So basically, she went to Vodafone's store, and they said to her, oh, we've got HCC wildfire. And I said to her, no, do not get that phone. That's what Iris has got, you know. And it's all right. It's okay phone, but it's not. It's running, I think, Froyo. Not even Froyo. It's running. What's one before Froyo?
Chocolate banana sauce. Cheesecake.
Not cheesecake. The donut.
Toblerone. I don't know.
No, Eclair. Eclair. That's what I meant. Yeah. It's running the Eclair. And Eclair's okay, but it hasn't got, like, for example, storage support properly. It's like, you have to, like, it's just dodgy. Anyway, so I suggested.
That's not very technical, just dodgy.
Well, it's like, you know,
that's how I describe Ubuntu now. That's not very accurate.
Oh, man. So basically, I suggested to her that you can probably get, because she wants a cheap contract, you can probably get like an HTC Desire or a Desire HD or a Desire S for about the same price probably. And
I saw somebody mention Wildfire. That could be something completely different. And maybe I don't know what I'm talking about, but I'm sure somebody mentioned that. Yeah, so I just thought I'd drop. Well, I've no idea what it is.
That's what someone recommended to her, but Wildfire, it's the same thing as what Iris has got. I think that Wildfire actually comes with Donut on it.
It runs 2.1. I don't keep track of what the Android
is. It's Donut Real. I thought you were making that up. Oh, there is something called Donut.
Donut is the real.
Oh, my God. Sorry.
Yeah. So, yeah, you want Froyo minimum, really.
With a donut on top. So I'll try and keep
it. Hold on a second. I'm just going to the fucking page on Android to work out what the fuck you're all talking about.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, remember all right. I'm just like...
All right, I'll use version numbers then.
Froyo is 2.2. Gingerbread is 2.3.
Yeah. Now, one of them is obviously a touchpad version.
And touchpad is...
That's
Honeycomb or the other
Honeycomb,
one.
Honeycomb, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, so basically you want Froyo or preferably Gingerbread.
Well, the reason why you want Froyo for sure is because Froyo is the one where you can move applications to the SD card.
Yeah.
Without that, it became very painful to install lots of apps.
Why don't you just get more memory? Or is that too basic?
No, you can't because it's it doesn't... Unless you get like actual chips and sold them to the motherboards, then it will work.
Yeah, that sounds like a bad idea.
Yeah.
Sorry. What I mean is, why don't you get a phone with more memory in it from the start?
But it's a certain amount of memory. You can't really buy like a phone with like a ton of memory, like gigs of memory.
Well,
I'm just looking at the Android, the current lineup of Android phones you can get in the UK at the moment. And it looks to me like I'm going to go on a very simple principle. I'm going to exclude all Motorola stuff because they're evil. I'm going to exclude all Sony Ericsson stuff because it's Sony Ericsson, which basically leaves with Samsung and HTC and Google's own brand, Google Nexus.
Yeah. So she did say about the Google Nexus, but I thought that I was under the illusion that the Google Nexus still was like you had to buy it full price.
No, according to a website I'm looking at, you can get Vodafone do it on a contract. Actually, All of the providers do it on contract.
Okay.
Orange, O2, T-Mobile, and Vodafone all have it on contract.
Well, cool, because that's what I was suggesting to her. Like, if they do, if you can get that, because it's a nice phone, and it comes with just the standard, I think it comes with Froyo, actually.
And and if it's from Google, they probably haven't fucked it beyond all recognition.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm thinking.
Or you can get it pay as you go.
But it's a lot of money, isn't it?
It's £424
on
pay as
you go.
What?
I was amazed, actually. So I'm looking at the Desire HD.
Yeah.
Which, despite being an iOS fanboy and everything, I do actually rather like the Desire HD. And you can currently get it on Orange, free handset for £20 a month.
Yeah, that's what I was saying to her.
Which, is fucking cool. Because like, last time I looked at contract Android phones, they were like, you know, £100 with £35 a month.
Yeah.
And then you have to pay shit tons more for internet and... Yeah.
Well, this is what I said to her, is that basically, you know, she's in this kind of amazing position right now where she's moving from pay-as-you-go to contract, yeah? She can go to any network she wants, and she could probably say to them, look, I want this phone, I want it for free, and I want it to be £20 a month, you know? And
yeah, well,
they will, someone will be able to sort that out for her, you know?
HTC Desire HD, £20 a month on Orange, £20 a month on T-Mobile. What else?
How long's the contract?
Sorry? 24 months.
Ooh. Well, yeah, I mean, I think that, I guess, like, for me, I kind of like, I could not imagine having a 2-year contract. I finally made the switch to an 18-month contract, and that was painful enough, so.
But let's see what she did.
She said she didn't mind. She said she didn't care. You know.
Or she could get an HP Pre 3.
I knew you were going to say that.
Well, I had to, really.
She said, oh, what would David say? I was like, I think David would recommend some WebOS thing.
It has some minor disadvantages. A, it hasn't actually been released yet because HP are incapable of releasing anything. It also says it's business focused, which just means nothing since no business will touch it with a barge pole.
I have no idea why HP decided to kill off the Palm brand. They should have bought Palm and kept the fucking Palm brand.
Yeah.
Most of us thought they would, but no, apparently
it's
not.
It's so stupid, because when I think of Palm, I think, oh, they're the people who do this really awesome design and make these really lovely Palm Pilots. And then I think of HP and I think, yeah, they're the people with this printer that sucks.
Yeah, yeah,
fucking billions of quid out of people's pockets and still sucks.
Well, they also did the... the iPads and stuff.
That's right, they did the iPad.
But they were always a knock on pilot, weren't they?
Yeah.
Well, it's very sad about that. But what's worse is, so WebOS is a very nice operating system, probably the best of the mobile, stuck inside these appalling phones. Mm. You know, just a series of very, very limited phones. But there's still the possibility that might be WebOS might somehow escape and get onto a good phone due to some hackers.
Well, yeah, I think this is the thing. So I would still like to play with WebOS. I really, really like Android. I like some of the things that Android does. But I still like the idea of, yeah, WebOS. But I just the hardware is just a joke.
It is rather astonishingly poor. Yes.
Yeah.
I think Palm 3 is fine. I don't know, it's not brilliant, but I think it is fine. But of course, they haven't released it, so no one really cares. In fact, the very sad thing, listening to what's still called the Palmcast, although technically it shouldn't be because there's no such thing as Palm, that they're defining the different concepts of what is summer, and they're saying things, well, it depends. If you take it from, you know, sort of sidereal peaks, then summer might last a little bit. And it's just bizarre. I mean, they're quite seriously trying to work out what HP means by summer.
That's bad.
It is very sad. So, yeah, moving on from Palm, beyond a joke. Yes, I suppose
I'm just looking at... That's retarded.
What is?
Sorry, I'm just looking at the sensation on Orange.
Oh, yeah, that's quite expensive, though, isn't it?
Yeah. They do it at £20 a month, but you have to pay £250 for the handset.
Ooh, yeah, no.
The cheapest they do it without paying for the handset is £45 a month.
Could they have a name of the phone that doesn't sound like a sex toy? That would be quite good. I mean, I quite like numbers.
Desire.
Wildfire. I know it kind of sounds a bit pervy, but not that much. you could go for something distinctly unsexy, like a Sony Ericsson Xperia Neo, which actually probably does sound like a sex toy, but it's probably something you find in the gay section.
HTC, incredible. Incredible versus the desire. Yeah, maybe it's more like Marvel superheroes.
It could be worse. It could be like the Motorola Droid, and Droid 3, and Droid X, and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was really disappointed with how Motorola fucked up all their software handling, because I looked at the milestone, or the whatever the fuck it was called.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, that looks like a really nice handset. You know, because it has a fucking proper keyboard, and Droid / Milestone. And I thought, oh, it has a keyboard, kind of like the G1 did back in the day. And that could be really cool. And then, like, Motorola became, you know, they went all Apple, and kind of the point of having an Android phone is that you don't have people going all Apple on you.
Yeah.
He's got all Apple on him.
So
they still reckon the Samsung Galaxy is still the best.
Oh, yeah, you just remind me of something as well with that. Yeah, I'm still really annoyed that I can't get the bloody Samsung Tab, which I ordered since April, simply because of bloody Apple. You know, is there more reason to hate Apple? This is the reason to hate Apple even more. You know?
Yeah, don't hate the player, hate the game.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry, come back. So you can't get the tablet because Apple? You can't get a Samsung tablet? Because
Apple have asserted that... Apple have sued Samsung in court because they own the intellectual property rights on the design. I forget... It's on the design rights. It's not on the patents or the copyright. It's actually on the design.
Yeah. Of what? Of a tablet? Of
the tabloid.
The 10.9 era.
Yeah, it's of the actual... Yeah, put it this way. I know a lot about intellectual property law, and I didn't quite follow the story. Samsung iPad lawsuit. Let's just check Mr. Google. And I get fucking TechCrunch bullshit.
Don't do it.
Don't.
I just want a thing where if I type something into Google, it gives me back something written by a sane person.
Also, I mean, these days you literally need a contract that says, I want the best phone out this month, because there is a new best phone out every damn month now. So I don't even understand the idea of getting a phone for longer than about 5 months. Because
that's the Telegraph reporting that they were suing over copyright, which they weren't. I need to. This is why we need to have a law person back on the show.
Yeah,
so they can sit in the corner quietly until we have a problem.
And they can go sue someone.
So the 10.1 Galaxy Tab not available.
Damn it. I've literally had that for an order since April.
You want to get yourself a nice iPad.
No. Do I even have to start a why?
They're very thin.
Yeah.
And they're shiny.
You can sharpen up an edge and use it to chop somebody's arm off with.
Oh, useful for the riot.
Yeah.
We might play some black music on it.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Funny thing in Ealing, they didn't touch for Starbucks. I don't understand that.
The same in Manchester. They didn't touch the Starbucks.
What's that about?
Or the Costa even.
I mean, they didn't touch Waterstones either. But then
yeah, we all have one. Yeah, the reason for that would be, oh, what's this book thing? This is paper.
Well, it's weird because especially in Manchester, it's just so like, you know, people just kind of run around throwing bricks at all, everything and anything. So like, there's like grocers with their smashed windows and yeah, it's just kind of like nuts. They just literally were like, oh look, it's a shop, let's throw a brick at it. You know?
Also, some of the shops in Ealing, they're sort of rubbish boutiques that you wouldn't want to take anything from anywhere. There's one that's like eBaby stuff. And it's like, what, the looters want like pseudo baby clothes? I mean, what the fuck is that? They didn't. So they're throwing bricks at shops that they don't even want to loot anyway. So it's wholly inefficient. They should have gone somewhere else.
I think David Starkey it might have been David Starkey was saying, why weren't they looting the banks?
Yeah, that's where the money is.
Yes, there is the there's a reason I steal from banks is because that's where the money is. Who was that? I forget who that was. Classic quote though. But
JD, Hollinger, one of the famous Dillinger. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Was it? Yeah. And
the first Dillinger.
You feel like sort of slapping him around a bit, and saying, when Currys and JD Sports start using time locks and
spray purple money,
then there might be a case there. But thanks for that, Mr. Tudor historian. Now fuck off.
Yeah,
I quite like the idea. Steal a pair of trainers and they suddenly turn purple.
Yeah,
so that'd be quite impressive, actually.
I was going to suggest that they ought to do that at the currency exchange, but having had new Israeli shekels, if you sprayed random coloured paint on them, they wouldn't look any different.
Oh man! Wow.
One thing I also want to say is nobody seems to remember sort of how bad football hooliganism was in the sort of 70s and 80s, because frankly, the riots probably equal a couple of bad Arsenal versus Chelsea matches, or okay, at worst, Chelsea versus Millwall. You get as many. You wouldn't get quite as burnt buildings, I admit. Well, but you'd get just as many bricks through windows.
But this is one of the things I didn't quite get. Is that the Manchester police are extremely good at dealing with football hooligans. You know, having like obviously Man City and Manchester United in the same, not very far apart.
You think the Metropolitan Police, with Arsenal, Chelsea, Tottenham.
but at least with those teams, they're quite far, well, except for Arsenal and Tottenham, they're quite far apart, where you could literally walk from one to the other, and you wouldn't, without breaking too much of a sweat. Well, okay, it's quite far, but it's not that far. It's strange that I guess this is the thing, everyone gets to talk about, policing and they were standing back and stuff like that. I mean, I don't know. I was just in my flat watching all the kind of craziness from there. So, not me, Governor. I was listening to my black music inside.
You listen to your rap, hip hop, patois.
If they come round and harass you, you could just say, "Well, I was on Twitter." Oh, wait. I was on Twitter. All right, but a little bit back to back.
I don't have a BlackBerry though. Wait a second, I'm black. No, I'm not. Yes, I am. Ah!
Oh man, right. I think that's it, isn't it? That's what we got.
Yeah,
for now.
I think so. Yeah.
I wanted to bring up, but I'm not gonna do it tonight. Well, first of all, where's Nick? When's Nick? I'm gonna call Nick out on this show.
He's scared of you.
I'm bring it on, Nick. I'm ready for you. Every time, last three times now, I've been trying to kind of we've already geared up to do discussion about BBC and discussion about geeks, And where is he? Hiding. Hiding in some corner. Shit himself. That I'm going to come round and riot his house or something. I have
whatever
no
free
idea.
Free childs do. I don't know.
You know. So I wanted to like finally get round to doing that. And also, did you see, and I'm sure Tom might have seen this actually, there was quite a good documentary on, so Channel 4 have been doing this thing about, I don't know what, I think they kind of, either it was set or before, it kind of like, they just suddenly gone, ooh, riots, black music, ooh, let's do something, oh, the streets of summer, or something like that, summer of streets, right? And they did, and they had like, well, allegedly, Banksy picked the lineup for the kind of late hours of Channel 4. And he picked this documentary, well, allegedly, he picked this documentary, which was actually quite interesting, about, consumerism and the way that the media kind of, like, is manipulated and stuff like that. And it's actually, it was on about 1 o'clock in the morning, as most of this good stuff is, but it was really interesting. I'll try and find it now.
Banksy, who wears a scarf, would get arrested immediately if he wandered around London at the moment, because he's just assuming he was a loser. And of course he is. He does, of course, vandalise things. This is a timely interruption. I don't know if you saw they actually on Channel 4 literally yesterday, I think, Exit Through the Gift Shop. If you haven't seen that, do.
I saw it in the cinema. Fantastic.
Brilliant.
I love
it, isn't
that.
It? Yeah.
That was just on my top 10 for 2010, that was.
I think the bit where he just did the blow up Guantanamo bloke in Disneyland and just like how Disneyland stopped, I thought it was absolutely brilliant. Absolutely excellent. Sorry, that was my interruption.
I was just going to say, you mentioning about the scarves thing, and did you see that the Belgians are banning the burqa?
Oh yeah.
Oh, and, really?
Yeah.
I didn't, actually.
Because, you know, Belgium has such a huge problem with religious fundamentalists or something. I don't know. But, no, I was just thinking, actually. So I found this hilarious, this amazing photo of... I was having a discussion with it with some people and about like religious face coverings and what we need to do about them. And I found this photo of three sadhus in Nepal who are like Hindu holy men.
Oh, yeah.
And like, they look at like something out of George Clinton's parliament. Like, they've got this like absolutely fucking mental headdress with sunglasses and like everything. And you just imagine them walking down the street. And literally, they've got this thing which is like, imagine a skull cap with a fucking feather coming out the top, and then sunglasses. And then, like, walking down the street, you know, can I help you, officer? Yes, you need to take that off. But and we were just, like, trading pictures of all sorts of, you know, balmy religious garments, and how nobody seems to have a problem with those, like, nuns' habits.
Oh, yeah.
You know about the Jains, the
Jainists, yeah.
Jainists, yeah. They have, they all wear, all the women wear scarves.
Oh, that's what they're called. This was very strange.
And then some of the men who are kind of, they are further, they're kind of further into you know, they're more religious or whatever. Some of them actually have taken a vow of complete, strict non-violence and vegetarianism, and wear a mask over their mouth so that they don't accidentally breathe flies in.
Yeah, that's right. That's extreme.
And you can just imagine, you know, that they're going to be the people who are going to be affected by this. But certainly, for some reason, they don't get to. Nobody seems to pick up on that. Nor do they seem to have too much of a problem with the Hasidim and women with fake wigs and people with enormous hats and lots of other problems.
I have a lot of problems with people with enormous hats. They just look daft.
Yeah, true. So, That's one thing I found very strange, actually, when in Israel is when you know...
Were you by the Wailing Wall? Did you see the...
No, we were in Haifa, which is basically...
Oh, you're a little further north, yeah. Yeah. Did you not go to Jerusalem?
I didn't get a chance to.
There
were people who were going, but, like, I had to go and get a flight and couldn't have done it during the day. Basically, they had a nice... the last day of... You know, like, after the conference, they had a day of tours. And they, like, drove people down to Jerusalem and...
That's the nice thing about Israel. You can do it almost in one day if you're energetic enough to, probably a little bit easier. And obviously a week if you're a bit more relaxed. But it is very easy to sightsee because bloody small country.
Yeah. And the next year they've decided to do it in a really, really exciting city that's filled with lots of really exciting things. Oh, no, wait. They're doing it in Washington, D.C.
Oh, man. I mean, never mind. Oh, Smithsonian, it's good.
Yeah, part of the reason is that they've been doing it for the Smithsonian. But the here's a cool thing though. They're hoping to have a train journey, like the Hack train many years ago.
Okay.
Oh well, what, sort of on the East Coast, the sort of seaboard. Yeah. New York, great.
New York down to Washington.
I've done that. It's great. Yeah.
Carriage full of, free culture, free software, wiki dorks. You know, for however many hours on the Amtrak. Very cool conference Wikimania was, I have to say.
All right. Okay. No, that'd be nice to do that. That's
there was one very amusing bit. So at the end of Wikimania, they always have Jimmy Wales give a kind of talk about, you know, the state
give
of...
Give me your money, yeah.
There's going to be less... I did actually make a special Barnstar, which is a kind of Wikipedia thing where you go and put it on somebody's talk page after they've done something particularly nice. It's a sort of thumbs up. And I had one which had Jimmy Wales' face appearing from behind the Barnstar and staring at you to give to people whose photos are used and they're used to make a banner that ends up getting more click-throughs than Jimmy Wales.
Oh.
So we give them a Jimmy Wales Barnstar when they do better than Jimmy Wales. But anyway, he was complaining about, usability and how we need to sort usability out, and that, if the person who's been using the site for the longest, hint, can't figure out how to do something, then perhaps it's a bit too complicated. Unfortunately, at that point, the mouse he was using to advance the slides stopped working. So the take-home message was, if it's too complicated for Jimmy Wales to use, we shouldn't do it. Case one, the mouse.
Was he using Windows? I don't know.
It was running Windows, and it was Microsoft mouse slide pointer thing.
Oh, dear.
So, yeah. There were lots of calls of, you should be using free software. And thankfully, Richard Stallman wasn't there. But, he did come to a previous instance of the conference. And he basically, he had a keynote speech from Richard Stallman to a room full of Wikipedia people. And his complaints were that people would go and try and change Wikipedia to make it say GNU/Linux. And that this was being marked as vandalism, and this is terrible.
Actually, just on that side point as well, I went along to a talk on Saturday by Free Software a Lot, and I was kind of led to believe that it was about an alternative to PDF. What it turned out to be, actually, I should read the bloody thing, to be honest, was... They are doing this campaign where they go around to all the government sites and they try and find examples where they've used PDF and recommended or suggested using Adobe PDF reader opposed to just a PDF reader, which is... interesting. I think I got a bit of press, but I was really not up for it. So
Yeah, so, and yet another example of the open source community completely missing the fucking point. It isn't about what tool you use to open the fucking PDF file. It's that when you're producing data, you shouldn't be putting it in fucking PDF files.
Yeah.
You should be putting it in HTML on the goddamn web so people can actually find the damn thing and use it.
That's true. It's true. Good point.
I should have made that point. Preferably in some kind of machine-readable form as well, so that computers can read it too.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think web intents work very well with PDF files.
So. Yeah. But, you know, so long as you're using a free software version of it, then having something which is completely, you can have it, it can be completely technically stupid and broken, but so long as it's implemented using free software, we're fine.
Yeah. All right. I think that's it. I think of.
Knock this one.
Bring this to an end.
Hold it around.
Bring this riotous assembly to an end.
Yeah. So, on behalf of the Black Gang culture, which has taken over all of London's youth...
Can I just say that he's an absolute...
And respect.
I try not to use his words too much, but he's an absolute cunt.
In it.
Yeah. On behalf... because I'm white but turned black and thus turned a rioter... On behalf of my black/white/rioting culture, I'd like to apologise to David Starkey.
You need to say it in patois.
I'd like him to, if he wants to understand hip hop, Spotify is there. There's lots of hip hop out there.
He should try definitely this. Blow a cap in his ass. That's
what. Yeah.
Blow a cap in his ass. That just sounds really wrong.
And to the people who are thinking about banning social media, I hope you consider next time that there's a convicted person for obscene phone calls that you decide to shut down the telephone network too.
Temporarily, mind you.
Or perhaps if somebody says something grossly racist and ignorant on TV, we could shut down the TV networks.
Yeah.
Anyway, enough moralizing. We better get the fuck out of here. This was Tech Grumps number 41. I'm Tom Morris. Goodbye. This is Ian Forrester.
Goodbye.
And this is David Eastman.
Goodbye.
Shalom. Bye. Fuck off.